following is a remastered version of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Hello, everyone, and welcome to turn 14 of A Worthy Opponent. I am one of the co-hosts, Black Lace, and with me is...
Autumn's Beam.
The other co-host. And we're here to talk to you further about Hearthstone, a Blizzard game. Basically, as we have said time and time again, we do not call ourselves elite by any means. We are not legendary players. We are just players in it for fun, sharing our ideas, sharing our beatdowns, people who have beat us down. And that even goes in with Play of the Week. This week's Play of the Week wasn't a winning play on our side. It was a winning play on somebody else's. But there was still a lot of thwarting to be had. We are going to start this week with Season 3.
Season 3, new release. Yep. Found out by accident. Just like last time.
A lot of people were actually upset that Season 3 happened so quickly. A lot of people weren't expecting it to happen because Season 2 was kind of late. So, if you think about it, Season 2 ran really, really short.
Not that much shorter. I mean...
But shorter than it should have been.
They said a month, and it was a month. Didn't it start January 2nd? Or did it go late?
I think it went late. We were waiting for it to happen, and they had problems with it, so it didn't go off right away.
Well, so they're getting back on course. They want to reset at the beginning of each month. But I don't think that the message was quite disseminated amongst the ranks because there were a few people at the forums who were kind of upset. In fact, I read a blue post where the blue kind of apologized. Sorry you didn't get the message that we were changing seasons. But there you have it.
Right. So just to let people know again, a lot of people who do play... know what a season is, and what we're talking about is arena. The arena resets are basically, you know, you start at level 25?
Rank 25.
Rank 25, thank you. I've been in Warcraft a little too much this week. You start at rank 25 and you're working your way up to legendary. The first five ranks don't really count towards losing stars when you're advancing. You can get through them pretty good. Once you get to rank 20, then it starts getting a little bit more hardcore. But at the end of each season, they do a full reset, back everybody back to 25, and the game starts all over again.
So the season is supposed to be a month.
Right.
And at the end of a month, your ranks get reset, and everybody is ranked 25 again.
Right, and they're still talking about trying to figure out whether or not it's a little too fast, the 1 month. Some people are thinking that it's just, it's too quick, 30 days and boom, you're back again. But,
Maybe not for people who play, you know, really hardcore. But it seemed to me like I was just getting into the groove. I had finally gotten a deck that worked in this particular meta this time around. I had gotten myself to rank 17 after being at 18 for quite a while. And it's like, okay, I think I finally have a deck working. And the next morning, like 25. Like, 25 again?
Mm-hmm.
Because each... Well, I mean, it's only season three now, or the third season, the second season reset. It's interesting that each time they've reset, we've gone back to play, and things have been very different in the game. It's like each time I'm finding different decks that I'm fighting against to struggle. And then you have to strategize, well, how do I beat these decks that are out there now? What could I do to my deck to make it better? That's not even counting the card changes that they made, like halfway through they changed all those mages cards.
Mm-hmm.
And then they, you know, they revised the others that we talked about one or two turns ago. And that was within that season. And so just you're trying to get a handle on how to play and where the metagame is going, and then all of a sudden it's reset.
Beta, beta, beta. And Atriel actually even apologized to one poster on the forum saying he was sorry that, or she, I think, sorry that you didn't see our messaging regarding the end of Season 2. In general, the current ranked season should last, as you said, Autumn's Bane, start from each season beginning of the month till the end of the month. As such, the plan is now for Test Season 3 to end around the end of February. And they're still not doing any of the special perks that they had been talking about yet. It's still right now working season to season. You're not seeing new card backs. You're not seeing any other changes, any kind of awards or anything. One other thing,
I don't think we're going to see those in beta.
Probably not.
And did we announce that beta? Yes, we did last turn. Sorry about that little brain fart. Because we're well into alpha now.
No, we're out of alpha. We're into beta. We're into open. Okay.
That's what I meant.
Rewind, Autumn's Bane.
Open beta. We are now in open beta, no longer in closed beta. So, wow. It's been a long day. and so it has been for a full week. Have you noticed much change in that week since it went from closed beta to open beta?
Not really. I'm finding a lot of people are good players out there. I'm running into, you know, a lot of fast and furious players. I'm definitely enjoying it. I want to mention one thing. As I said, the top of rank is legendary, but that's not the same thing as a legendary card, which is the gold card and the pretty, pretty frame. There's the legendary card and the legendary's player. So those are two different things, just to keep those separate.
And that was another forum post. We're going to talk about that blue post in a little bit. There's actually confusion within that very post where the blue has to say, no, 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 a legendary card and the legend player are two different things.
Correct. Correct. So do you have more to say on the seasons changing? Autumn, spring?
No.
Will you become Spring's Bane?
No, I will not. Okay. I will never be Spring's Bane.
Talking about
Although,
changes of season.
I could use a Winter's Bane about now.
Yeah. Enough of winter.
Yeah. So what did I notice? You asked me a question, so I'm going to try and answer that for you. So I'm noticing that players are getting better each season because it's getting harder and harder for me to win. But in some respects, that's a good thing because it's forcing me to become better in order to beat them. And so the games are becoming more interesting. In the past week, I actually have not seen any Murloc decks. I think I may have seen one Warlock Murloc deck, and it just wasn't working for him. He wasn't getting the Murlocs out.
I've seen a couple. They're not just for Warlocks anymore.
No, that's true. But I'm seeing fewer of the Warlocks
yes.
playing Murlocs.
And this week, I actually beat some Priests. I was very happy. I actually had a priest concede me tonight. I was even happier about that, because everybody knows now how I feel about priests.
No. Really? You've never mentioned.
I will let our listeners just have a day off of my ranting. But I did some, so I was very happy. Their strategies seem to have been changing, and I'm not sure. Things just seem to be a little bit more balanced lately.
Yeah, I think the last batch of card changes they made went a long way to accomplishing their goals. I am seeing the cards that they altered being played less, or at least less to the same effect that they used to have.
You know, and the fixed cards being played again.
Yeah, but the Argent Defender is still being played a lot, and even though I've taken her out of all of my cards,
I play her. The Novice Engineer, I'm still playing her.
The Novice Engineer is, I'm still seeing her a lot, which surprises
yep,
me.
I've got her in my Mage deck. I might even have her in my, no, I don't think I have her in my Pally deck. spot. I do want to move on to, as we were talking about playing each other, casual mode. There was a post on that.
Yep. Do you want me to talk about it?
You can. I'll listen. I'll even be quiet enough for you to continue talking about it.
Well, there was a recent forum post about 3 days ago, and there was a player going off on the whole ranking system, and he clearly didn't quite have it right. So it was one of those posts that a community manager actually stepped in. So Zariah comes in and tells him he's incorrect. I'm not going to bother putting what the, you know, mentioning what the player said. But the next two paragraphs is very telling. And the reason I wanted to read this tonight is you and I had been talking over the past couple of weeks that it just didn't seem like the matchmaking was working. But here's what the Blue poster, again, Blue being a Blizzard developer, community manager Zariah said, when you jump into casual mode, you'll be matched up against other casual mode players of equal skill. But if you are new to the game, you will be matched up against other new players. If you fare well in casual mode, you will continue to be matched against other casual players of equal skill. This mode uses a hidden MMR rating to ensure you and your opponent should prove to be worthy opponents. Ranked play matches with other ranked play players that are as close to your current ranking as possible and does not follow an MMR system. So a rank 5 player will be matched with another rank 5 player or as close as possible to their current rank.
That, when they that say part as makes close sense.
Yes, it does. So there's no reason to have an MMR in a ranked system. You've got a rank, you're going to play people of a similar rank, and I have played people with as much as 3 ranks above me, but not higher than that.
But so you know what I noticed?
That might be their cutoff.
I noticed that that doesn't matter in levels 25 to I keep saying levels, please forgive me. Rank 25 to rank 20, it really doesn't matter, because again, you're not losing stars.
Once if you get lose, into... you're not losing stars, but you're still playing right. Somebody who's ranked higher than you.
You could be, but It's a little bit more, it doesn't matter as much until you get to rank 20. When you get to rank 20, that's when, because you could get set backwards.
Yeah, like today. I was, I didn't get to play very much since the change. I mean, today's only the 3rd, so it's only been a couple of days. I had gotten myself up to rank 20, and I was 1 star away from going to 19, and
I made 19.
I fought, congratulations.
Thank you.
I fought 2 superior players, and so back down to the beginning of 20. But you're right. Now, I won't fall back down to 21, and that's nice. But mm-hmm.
But you have to fight to stay, to keep where you are.
And you have to play a lot.
You do. Correct.
If you have even a 60 to 70% win rate, you're still going to take a step forward, take a couple steps back. And the key is when you win them in a row, because if you time your wins right, it works better.
Oh, yeah, because you get more. Anybody doesn't know this. The more you win, the more stars you get. So if you're getting 1 star for a single win, the next time you get a win in a row, the next time you may get 2 stars. Now, it doesn't go next time 3 stars, next time 4 stars, but it often, you know, it'll give you extra stars, and you can advance a little bit quicker the more you win.
I think to get your first bonus star, you need to win 3 in a row, but I'm not completely sure of that. I don't think it's just 2 in a row.
Not sure. I got 1 today. I was very happy, and it put me into rank 19, so we'll see where I am next week. May go backwards, may go forwards.
This talk about the MMR is that you and I have been playing for a long time. They go on to, somebody else says, or maybe Zariah says it as well, later on in the forum thread, which is quite big at this point, that your casual rank, which is the rank behind the scenes, that the one you can't actually see, the casual play rank MMR never gets reset. So it keeps a running tally of your wins and losses and pits people against you based on that.
That's kind of good, because that means that the casual player newbie isn't going to get tagged against a casual player who's got full-blown working Dex that has been playing for 2 or 3 months.
Correct.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that, too. So what have you been playing this week?
I've been mostly playing things that gave me my gold. I've been doling out the quests. I got kind of lucky. I had 3 quests in a row, or not in a row, but simultaneously, that gave me the option between a rogue and something else. And so it was like, win 2 games with a rogue or this, win 2 games with a rogue or that, win 5 games with a rogue. And so I just started playing my rogue until I won enough games to clear out all 3 quests. And I did it in ranked, and I won some, I lost some, but it helped me rank through. And I think I had a couple with a paladin for a couple of days. And then once I pretty much depleted my quests, and I've currently got, like, kill 100 minions or something like that, I switched over to my hunter, because my hunter is always my default.
I had a tough one this week. It was something like, kill 20 play 20 minions of 2 or less mana. And it, of course, it doesn't count the hero abilities like summoning a squire. You literally have to play little tiny creatures. I don't have a Murloc deck. I don't play little tiny creatures. Most of mine go 3s and 4s. But I made it. It just seemed to take a while.
But you have your novice engineer.
I do.
I'm sure you have leper gnomes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
No, I don't have elven archers.
You have.
That's kind of funny.
Alpha wolf, right?
Yes, yep.
And you've been playing the hunter, so you've got lots of weenies there.
Yep, and that's what I've been playing this week. This week I've decided to branch out. Last week I tried the warrior. This week I tried the hunter. I think I like the hunter. I'm going to go one more week with it. My fallback isn't my mage anymore. My fallback is always my paladin. I seem to have a really nice, solid paladin deck. Won 3 games in a row, and as I said, I was whooping up on the priests today. But I think I'm going to give the hunter one more week, really enjoying it. And then you can tell, which I don't like, because those are the last ones that I'm going to be trying. I still have to try out and do a shaman deck, and I still have to try and work on a, druid. Those two are the ones that I'm slowly getting towards. I just wish, as always, I know eventually you're going to be able to buy more slots for card decks. I wish there were more, because there are only 10. And it's with this many characters to play, you're only limited to a few duplicates.
Yeah, people keep sending me decks to try. And at first I was doing them. But each time I do it, I have to completely dismantle one of my other decks. And I'm not really too keen on doing that.
Yep. So yeah, that's what I've been playing this week. I've been playing my little hunter, and I've been having a lot of fun. It's actually a pretty powerful deck.
I like the hunter.
Yeah. You had playing. Speaking of hunters, you have the play of the week, which was kind of could have been a really good play for you, but kind of was painful at the same time. That other person had a very, very good deck from what I heard.
Yeah.
Just got all the right cards.
Well, first of all, good deck or not, it was certainly lucky. So I won't deny my opponent that he or she had a good deck, but he definitely got all the right cards. That was, you know, you play these games where you just can't get the right cards, and then other games where everything you need just falls into your hand. This is what happened to my opponent. And I was playing the hunter, and I was doing quite well. We were up to like 7 mana crystals out, and I still had 30 health, and he or she was down to 11. And that's when things started changing. She wasn't casting to... I'll say she because it was Jaina Proudmoore, so my default is to use the gender of the hero class I'm facing. So the opponent managed to call out a Molten Giant, which are those giants that... they cost less to call out. for each card in your hand. You familiar with it?
Yes, it's a big, okay. Nasty giant that has red lava-ish ooze.
And it's an epic. So, she calls out one, and then immediately calls out a second one.
They confuse me, though, because they're 20 mana to call out. How do you do that?
No, they are 20 mana.
Oh,
for
that's
an 8/8,
right. They cost one less for each one... damage your hero has taken.
Right, so I mistakenly said cards in hand, but this one is the one with damage taken. So I had her down to 11 health, and she also had a secret that ice blocked her. So even though she was down to 11 health, she had that extra protection of 8 mana. No, that's not ice block, that's one of the other secrets.
Which we will get into later.
Which
but
we'll
for
get
now...
into. So that was Ice Barrier. That's the one that gives you 8 armor. So she was protecting herself with the barrier, even though she's at low health. So she calls out the first Molten Giant, an 8/8 in front of me. She calls out the second. So miraculously, she had both cards in her hand. And then she calls out a Faceless Manipulator, which gets to duplicate another card. So now she's got 3 8/8 creatures in front of me, which technically should have 20 casting costs each.
Yep, the Faceless Manipulator is a 5 mana cost card. The battle card cry is to choose a minion and become a copy of it. Otherwise, it's kind of like a 3/3 if you play it on by itself, but otherwise it becomes anything.
So I'm thinking, okay, I've got 30 health, and she has just blown my mind by putting out 3 8/8 creatures. How do I deal with this? Well, I had 2 Savannah Highmanes out, which you may recall are 6 casting cost lions that, if they get killed, turn into a pair of hyenas.
I still think of Disney's Lion King every time I see that card. That's Scar and his 2 hyena buddies.
Oh, I see. I see. Whoopi Goldberg.
Yes.
And
I see Savannah Lyons.
And Cheech Marin, right?
Yes. I just think of the Lion King.
So now that's what I'm going to think of from now on. Thank you very much for ruining that card for me.
My pleasure.
Okay, so anyway, I've got the High Mains out. And I've got the Kodo that enables you to give charge to your... It's 2/5 creature that grants charge, and the name's escaping me.
Stampeding Kodo?
That's it, Stampeding Kodo. And so now my high mains have charge. So I attack 1/8/8 with my 6/6 creature, or 6/5 creature, 5/6, whatever it is. And, I basically break my lion upon it, so it's got a couple of points left.
Wait. We may be wrong. Stampeding Kodo has the battle cry that destroys a random enemy with a 2 or less attack.
It's not that Kodo. Okay. I'm trying to look up too many cards at the same time. So I'll get back to that. So one high main hits the giant, leaves it with a couple of hit points, but then turns me into a couple of hyenas. So the second one does it to the other one and turns into a couple hyenas. The hyenas are boosted because I have a wolf in play that's giving everyone +1. So I then crash the hyenas against what's left of the giants to destroy them. And then I had like 2 other creatures out, and I beat the third one. So she calls out this amazing set of 3 8/8 creatures. You know, I almost peed myself. I was just appalled. I managed to take her out, and I left myself with a single 1/1 creature out, my wolf, I think. And so I'm like, great, I cleared the board. And then what she do on the next turn, she calls out Antonidas. If you recall, Antonidas keeps summoning fireballs to her hand every time she casts a spell. So I call out my owl, which silences her legendary wizard. Like, there, that ought to keep your fireballs at bay. And that worked temporarily, but that's when it was like game over, because on the next turn she hit me with a 10-point fire blast, pyroblast, and then the turn after that he had called out the 1-1 legendary that gives plus 1 to spell damage. So she hit me with 2-7 health fireballs, and then I don't even remember what. She just quickly finished me off because she was very high on mana and had a handful of cards.
Yeah.
So you can be carrying, 30 health deep into the game, and in a matter of like 4 turns, just get annihilated.
One other thing about the Archmage Antonidas, he's as you said, whenever you cast a spell, put a fireball spell into your hand. Basically, that means if you cast Mirror Image, which is like 1, 2 Mirror Images, which is like 2, suddenly you've got 2 more fireballs in your hand. I mean, you could literally cast about 5 quick spells and have a handful of fireballs, and I mean, you can polish off your opponent real quick with that. That is one heck of a legendary card.
Yeah, so she, of course, she had no cheap deck. This was not a person who had a new deck. Clearly, she had the 2 giants, which were epic creatures. It's very hard to get, unless you play an awful lot or spend a lot of money. So there are plenty of people who just play often enough to not spend the money.
I mean, if you've got a deck that you know you want to build and cards that you want to get, just, and like, say I'm a collector. I want to have every card. But if I was the type of player who really could care less and I don't like playing a druid, and I DE all my druids, whether they be, legendaries or whatever kind, I can get dust that way and build decks that way too.
Sure, but my point is, this is not somebody who's been playing for 3 weeks. There's no way, unless you've spent a lot of money, because even dusting, it takes a lot of dust to make a legendary card. So she had the 2 giants, and she had the 2 legendaries. So there were some very expensive cards. Now, I was not at a disadvantage. I have a lot of cards at this point, too, between the money and what I've dusted and what I've won in coins. It's just, this is one of those circumstances where I faced an opponent that had a very good deck, a very well-played deck, and had a very lucky draw all at the same time, the perfect storm for a win, but it was clearly with a deck that took some time and money, time and or
thought.
Money to build, and thought too. So if that person who beat me is listening, kudos, because it was a well-designed deck. It's a little risky to base a strategy on being low on health, as we talked about a couple of turns ago with that warrior deck.
So, I've also been playing a lot of players that are really nice lately. I mean, I've gotten a couple that have been kind of nasty with their comments and in the limited emotes that they allow you. But I've had quite a few really, really nice players I've come up against. So kudos to them. Let's hear it for Team Spirit.
Yeah, and actually, that happened to me just 2 days ago. I played against a player who was so nice to me. He greeted me if I made a good play. He said, well played, and not just to annihilate me on the next turn like a lot of people do. But he was really, really nice to the point where I actually sent him a friend's request afterwards. And I just want to interject the card that I was talking about, which
Kodo.
I accidentally... No, it wasn't a Kodo.
You called it a Kodo.
I called it a Kodo. It's the Tundra Rhino.
Ah,
it's a
5
casting
one.
Cost, 2/5 that gives your beasts charge. So I always have one of those in a hunter deck.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so moving on, passing this play of the week and the whatnots, my pet peeve. Actually, my pet peeve kind of stems into your pet peeve. I still have the pet peeve that when I win or if I lose, too quickly does that banner come up saying, boom, lost or whatever, telling me what level I am and such. I want a chance. I need another 5 seconds to slide that mouse. It's just maybe my connection speed. I don't know. I want to tell somebody good game. I want to tell somebody well played. As I'm just about to click it, it's shrinking away from me and I can't get it to give the kudos to the player I want to give the kudos to. It just vanishes very quickly.
That's true. There's been a bunch of games where I've meant to say well played and didn't get a chance.
Yeah, and you also had some cards you wanted to see what they played against you.
Yeah, sometimes, I understand this is a fast-paced game, but there are some players who play cards so quickly that it's hard to see what's going on. So I like to look on the side to see what card it was or what card combination they cast after I'm dead. Like, how did he just kill me so quickly? And it doesn't give you a chance to look. It's just gone too soon.
I want a record button.
It may be a feature that they come up with
instant
down the
replay.
Line. Instant replays or just
that
a way.
That would be awesome.
Just a history. Warcraft has a combat log to show you what's been done. A combat log for this game would be awesome. You could just scroll back and say, oh, he used that card in combination with that card to kill me.
And it doesn't have to be permanent. It could be like, you can see who your last player was. Right now, you can do that. So we could see what the last 5 cards played were or something like that.
Yeah, or the order they were played, because sometimes it's just happening so quickly. And I don't know if you've noticed, but I will see cards light up on the board as if my opponent is targeting me. And it's, you know how you can just do a bunch of card plays at the same time, mm-hmm. or back to back, and then the game has to catch up with your commands? I think that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing somebody click on one of my creatures, and then he casts a summon or something, and then his creature attacks mine afterwards. I could almost predict what he was doing by how the cards were lighting up.
It's very possible he may have been scanning over your cards. While you're thinking about what you're doing, he may be scanning over to see what your cards do, like this wolf, which one? While it's their turn, and I've got a bunch of murlocs against me, I'll put my cursor over the murlocs to say, okay, this one's giving all the rest the +1/+1. This one's giving them the charge. This one's giving them this, so that I could decide which one I may want to annihilate. Well, while my cursor is over their card is glowing for them that my cursor's there. So while you're on your turn, you're seeing your cards glowing. It might be because he's cursoring over your cards to see what you've got out there and what he's planning on his next turn.
Well, I'm not disputing that, because that is true, and every word you said is true. But what I'm saying is, I'm seeing the order of the cards being touched on the screen, lighting up and glowing, as the actual sequence of events before the cards actually catch up with them.
More like a lag.
Well, more like, you know, these cards are animated, and they have sound effects. So they have to take a second or two to do their emote and their sound effect or whatever. Meanwhile, he has already clicked on 5 cards back to back. It's like, attack with this, cast this, summon this. And then the game has to catch up. I can almost see it happening by how the cards are lighting up. You follow me?
I follow you.
Okay. So, anyway, that just goes to show there are some players that know what they want to do. Maybe they've done these same moves so many times it's just rote for them. And a combat log to show all of that rapid sequence of events after the fact, enabling me to study it and see what my opponent did. Maybe I can avoid a pitfall in the future. Maybe it was just a really good play and I should adapt it for my own decks. But a combat log, I think, is something that down the road they should put in. I don't think it would be that much of a drain on the UI or on the lag. I think it could be done.
I do too. But Anna's Bane.
Yes.
Shh. Secrets.
Is it a secret?
It is a secret.
Is
We're gonna
safe?
Talk about secrets today. Keep it secret. Keep it safe. Keep it paladin. We're going to start talking about paladin secrets today. There are only 4 of them. The poor little paladins.
Well, you notice that there's only 3 hero classes that have secrets. And it's sort of funny that as you build, you start with the paladin, as you were about to say. The paladin has 4, and they all cast 1. Next is a hunter. The hunter has 1 more. But it also costs 1 more. So the paladin is 4 at 1 casting cost. The Hunter has 5 at 2 casting costs. And what does the Mage have?
The Mage has 6 at 3 casting cost.
Yes, so they build on that. And as we'll see as we play, the Paladin, I think, gets the raw end of the deal with their secrets.
Very much so. And in fact, and with that progression, the Paladin has no other cards that adapt with secrets, whereas the Hunter does, and then the Mage even more again. But let's start with the Paladin. There are 4 cards that are Paladin secrets. The first one is an eye for an eye, and what that secret is when your hero takes damage, you deal that much damage to the enemy hero. Do you play that card?
No, and I think overall it's not really a great card because people have found ways to work around secrets. First of all, the big threat of a secret is that intimidation factor. Don't you suddenly become really cautious when you see a secret on the other end of the table?
Unless it's a Paladin, then I know which one is most likely going to be because it's the one I like to use, but
okay.
Yes, you're right.
But it's very easy to get by eye for an eye. You're not going to attack a Paladin who's got a secret out with a big creature. You're going to poke at them with little creatures. Because if I hit you with my 1/1 wolf, how? Now I'm going to take 1 point of damage. Almost a waste of a secret.
Right, but when that priest turns around and hits you with their suddenly 17-17 light well or whatever, then they suddenly take that damage.
So that is why a card like this could be strategically used later in the game.
It could. I do not use
but
it.
But I think the person playing that 17-17 creature is still going to test that secret out with a 1/1 creature or a small, otherwise small creature.
Yeah.
The wise player is not going to fall for that trick.
Correct. Do you want to do the next one?
Sure. Noble Sacrifice. Of course, 1 casting cost, like all Paladin secrets. When an enemy attacks, summon a 2/1 defender as the new target.
So, it's paying 1 mana for 1 creature.
Well, you're preserving, because it says when an enemy attacks. It doesn't necessarily say who it attacks. So, if it attacks you as the hero, or if it attacks one of your minions, suddenly there's another target. I suppose if you've got a deck strategy that relies heavily on certain minions being in play, and you don't want those minions hurt, then this could be a support to that strategy.
Right, because it'll bounce it. The next card is my
favorite. You play the Paladin more often than me. I don't know if I actually use any
I don't have that
in my Paladin deck.
Oh, you want Redemption. Redemption is a 1 casting cost, ultimate, perfect, wonderful, godly Paladin card.
Well, that's
why?
Because you have a very good combination.
Well, no, this isn't part of that one. This is a different combination.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, the combo cards that I play, which I mentioned last week, are completely different. Those are just normal, everyday Paladin cards. But the secret is when one of your minions dies, you return it to life with 1 health.
Now that's
so,
useful. And I had somebody use it against me the other day, so that's why I know it's useful.
Yes. When I play Tyrion Fordring, I will throw that secret out there. If they kill him, it makes me laugh. Tyrion Fordring is a legendary. He's an 8 casting cost card. He's 6/6. He comes out with Divine Shield. He comes out with Taunt. His death rattle is to equip a 5/3 Ashbringer. A lot of times somebody will see that card, Priest will see that card, they'll cast that little card that basically any creature 5 or over, it destroys it. Well, it destroys the card. It gives me a 5/3 Ashbringer, and then Redemption brings me back my 6/1 character with the Divine Shield. It's beautiful.
And the ability to call out Ashbringer again.
Again, yes.
So that is useful. The Paladin that I played this secret on me had a 3/1 creature out with a Divine Shield. And I hadn't expected to actually mention that card, so I'll have to figure out what it was. But it was a pretty cool ability.
She's actually the Scarlet Crusader. She's a neutral card. I have two of her in my deck as well.
She's 3-1.
She's 3-1 with a Divine Shield, 3 casting cost.
So when she came back with a 1 health, it was no big deal because she already had 1 health. But she did get the Divine Shield back, so that's why this card is actually a good card.
It's a beautiful card.
Because the Battle Cry works again. Whereas there are other circumstances where the Battle Cries do not come. Like if you copy another minion, their special abilities, their battle cries, they don't show up.
Right. I mean, there's also the card that gives another opponent a battle shield. If card comes back, I mean, not another opponent, another minion a shield. If that card dies and comes back, it doesn't give you the opportunity to play that battle cry again. So you have to time it. I mean, there are different...
Oh, I'm sorry. My mistake. It wasn't a battle cry. Her divine shield is just an innate ability. It's not a battle cry.
Right. Things like the card that gives another card a +1/+1, that won't come back. But something like Tyrion, who when he dies, he brings out, you know, he equips a weapon in your hand, and then he comes back as a 6-1. That works. It was just, it's
okay,
a good
card. Okay, so the
card.
Battle cries do not work for redemption, but the death rattles do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The last card is Repentance. The secret for Repentance is when your opponent plays a minion, you reduce its health to 1. I would say that's an end game card.
Yeah. Again, when you're playing paladins who play secrets, I think you want to be... I think it's pretty easy to think around it. There's only 4 secrets they could have, and 2 of them can be circumvented with small creatures, whether it be attacking with the small creature or casting a small creature, and this is one of them. So this card is good when you're playing somebody who's inexperienced and they're going to fall for it, but again, against experienced players, I'm not so sure this one's going to be as well. I think of the 4 paladin secrets that we just discussed, Redemption is clearly the winner in my book.
Oh my gosh, yes. And as I said, I have 2 of them in my deck. I don't know that I have any of the other. I don't think I have. I'm sure I don't, because I play my paladin deck a lot, and I haven't seen these come up, and I actually have no desire to put any of the others in it. So yes, anybody coming across Black Lace in the middle of a battle, you know, if you see me throw a 1 mana cost secret up there, it's going to be my Redemption.
Yeah, there you go. Tell the world your strategies.
Pretty,
and how to beat
pretty
you.
Easy to guess. I actually would like to save the for next week the other secrets. We can continue. The time is starting to disappear on us, and we had some other things we wanted to talk about. So we'll just talk about the paladin secrets this week. We're going to be talking about the mage and the hunter next week, their secrets. And there are cards that are off secrets that work off secrets. There's only 1 neutral card, so we can mention that one now. Our secret keeper.
Secret keeper.
Mm-hmm. 1 casting cost. 1/2 creature. Whenever a secret is played, gain a +1/+1. My bet would be to put it in a mage deck. If you're going to be a mage with secrets, she would come in handy with a mage deck, because mages have so many more viable secrets.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. If you play a secret-heavy deck, it gives you so little wiggle room to play other cards. But you're right, the mage secrets are the most like valuable spells. So I could see a mage trading in some spells for secrets. But the key thing to remember about the secret keeper is it says whenever a secret is played, which
That's
means
right.
if you're playing against a hunter, paladin, or mage, she's much better use.
Because it'll
she...
ping off of your opponent.
That's right. So when they play a secret, it works too. But a smart player will kill her before they play their secret.
Yes. So the reason we are going to move on a little bit is I do have an app of the week to talk about that I wanted to briefly mention. The app of the week is for the iOS. It's called Guides of Hearthstone. My pet peeve, I love that word today. The thing that bothers me the most of it with that one
is... You're bothered quite a bit, aren't you?
I'm bothered. I'm hot and bothered. I was at first calling it a crap app, but it's not really a crap app. I've decided it's not. The thing that's annoying is that there are a lot of commercials, ads. The minute you go in, there's an ad. There's ads flying on the bottom. There are ads all through it. That's not really, I guess, is nothing that the person who scripted it could do, but there are just way too many ads. That aside, the very first function I tried was the card list, and it gave me the ability to search all classes, and I typed in, first I tried typing in the word secret and nothing came up, then I tried secret keeper and nothing came up, and lo and behold, any card I put in there, nothing came up. So I think that might be under construction.
Or it might just be a way to give you ads.
It could be ads, yeah. It's all about the advertisements. However, there are other things. There are guides and infos. There's a walkthrough. There are deck lists. There's a new player guide, arena strategy, deck builders. Those are other things. It's all link-oriented. So if you go into the deck lists, he has a nice little write-up or she has a nice little write-up, but then gives... you know, information on other things out there. It's kind of like a very tight web search. It's very focused on Hearthstone. If you want to look at Hearthstone websites, this app will get you to them. So it's not quite a crap app. It's just how you want to use it. It wouldn't be something I would want to use because I'd rather read all that information off of the monitor as opposed to an itty bitty screen. But it could be useful for people. So it doesn't have the two thumbs down. It's not a crap app.
But I've yet to see one as good as the Hearthpedia one that we talked about recently.
Right. That one was a very good one. And we also want to talk about our reviews on iTunes.
iTunes. So since our last episode, our last turn, by the way, did you mention that this is turn 14 at the top of the show?
I did. Of course
you
I did.
Okay. Silly. I sort of missed that. So
you don't listen to me.
I want to read these because I want to talk about, and it's not just to like toot our own horn or show off or be egotistical about this, but I think that when people do reviews and they leave specific comments about what they like, that really helps us because it tells us what we're doing right or in some cases what we're doing wrong. We got on the 27th a 5-star review by Jones W. He says, I have been listening to multiple Hearthstone podcasts and this one is great for new players getting into the game. They stay on subject and really hit the right level of information. One of my favorites each week and look forward to it. Well done, guys, and keep up the good work. Happy Hearthstoning.
Thank you, Jones W.
He did the heading, excellent podcast. And he hits the nail on the head. We are more geared toward the casual player. There are enough hardcore podcasts out there for people to listen to. And let me read the next one because the next person also is quite eloquent with how he describes our usefulness to the community. He says, simple and charming, 5 stars by Azrin on January 30th. He goes, others have mentioned this, but this Hearthstone cast is definitely casual focused. I might offer amends to that by saying it is more entry focused. What you have here are two great hosts with balanced personalities sharing the journey and knowledge as they progress in this new game. Even as a player who is deep into the metagame and value analysis of each card and deck, I still tremendously appreciate this show. In a game, all interpretive opinions are valid and worth considering. For this, I am giving the show 5 stars. It doesn't plunge headlong down the rabbit hole, but the hosts put themselves out there in a way that is inviting to new players. Since new players are vital to the success of Hearthstone, I believe this show fills a valuable niche in the community. Now, I really appreciate this write-up by Azrin, because he's right. We are trying to promote the game by talking to newer players on their level without intimidating them. I've listened to some of the other podcasts out there, and there are some good podcasts out there, but I felt immediately intimidated that I didn't know what they were talking about when I first listened to them. And when Black Lace and I were talking about potentially doing a podcast, we said, but let's talk to people as if they're as new as we are, and understand that this game is in beta. There's new people coming in all the time. This isn't like World of Warcraft, which has 10 years behind it, where almost everyone who plays is an expert. This is a game where there are a lot of new players out there, and we wanted people to have a place that they could feel at home listening to people who were their level, or maybe not even their level. Here is somebody that's writing this up that's clearly an expert player. He might be a legendary player for all we know. He's come out and said that he understands all these things, but he appreciates us anyway.
And we appreciate that, Azrin. Thank you very much as well.
Very, very much. And that's why the podcasting community is so great and vibrant, because you can get a little of everything. If you listen to one show and you're not finding what you like, you can find it elsewhere. So
and also
thank you to both Jones W. and
absolutely.
Azrin.
And others who have commented in the past, whether it be through emails or through iTunes comments. Somebody had mentioned about me that I didn't know the card names, and well, that is important. So I have been striving to make sure when I'm talking about a card that I'm going to give you the card name, that I'll give you more details about the card, because again, we want everybody to understand it. And when I keep saying, hey, about that card there with the little cleric picture, and I don't do that, but you know what I mean. If I'm not really focusing, I'm not teaching anybody that this card does work well with this card in any kind of, you know, symbiosis, because if I don't give you the names of them, you're going to be sitting there going, what is she talking about? Thank you for that comment. Positive criticism is great. It gives us a jumping board to go off.
Yeah,
so we appreciate that.
In one of our early podcasts, I mentioned we were talking about the priest decks and how they had the ability to double the health of the minion and then make it the power. And I had mentioned that there was a 1/7 character that I did it to, and that was a Mogu Shan warrior, warden rather. And at the time, I didn't mention the name, but somebody tweeted me and said, hey, I hadn't thought of using that spell on the Mogushan Warden, and he used the name, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's the card I was thinking of. So some people know what we're talking about even when we name it, but it's more professional and more helpful if we name them. So we've taken that poster's advice and try. We don't always succeed, but we try. But the other thanks that we want to give out is the reviews are helpful to us. It helps people know about our podcast and perhaps get them to give us a listen and contribute, as some of our listeners have done by sending us emails and tweets. But we mentioned last episode that we were going to be interviewed by Realm Maintenance, and that episode is now out there. Realm Maintenance episode number 79, A Worthy Hearthstone Podcast, is the name of the episode. So, Remedizi and Ro, thanks again so much for doing this, and this is the last we'll mention it. We mentioned it last turn that it was coming out, now we're mentioned that it was out. We really appreciate what Realm Maintenance does for the community by spotlighting and featuring all the podcasters for the Blizzard games.
Yep. It's great to have you guys out there and listening to us. It's great to see your comments. We get excited every time we see it, because we know we're helping, we're impacting, and it's nice to know that. Just as a little bit of a side, Holosuite Media does have some other podcasts if people are interested. We have the Geek Easy, the Pulse. I started back in the Secret World, and there's a podcast for that too. So I just want to little hats off to some of the other podcasts from Holosuite Media. We don't usually mention them, and we really should. So we want to thank our sponsors. Wrapping up, I'm going to tell you about how to contact us. You can follow us on Twitter. We now have, 241 followers, yes?
42.
Oh, yay. The ever-fluctuating number. It's like my stars in rank. It's up, it goes down. It goes up, it goes down. But you can follow us on Twitter at A Worthy Opponent. You can email us at awohearthstone@gmail.com. We will read your email over the air and discuss your comments, answer your questions to the best of our abilities. You can find us on iTunes, and you can send us little messages. You can follow us on, find us on Facebook at AWO Hearthstone. I think that is it. Is it not? Facebook, iTunes, email, Twitter. Is there anything else?
Yeah, that can be downloaded at iTunes and Stitcher.
And, of course, at Holosuite Media. So, I am Black Lace.
I'm Autumn Spain.
And we thank you once again for listening. Happy hearthing.
Happy hearthing.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Worthy Opponent. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to awohearthstone@gmail.com. Welcome to our inn.